Welcome to Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Shoaili and Josh Goldberg here with you as the Blue Jays drop the third game in a row, their fourth loss in their last five games, and a second straight to the Twins at Target Field, a 3-1 loss tonight on Friday night. Jose Berríos struck out 10 in this game, Josh, his second highest mark as a Blue Jay. He gave up five hits and three earned runs over six innings of work, the three runs being an Arraez RBI triple and a Buxton two-run jack, but that would do it for him, and he did get tagged with the loss despite his efforts. And, you know, Josh, we had this conversation in the pregame, and we were texting about it during the game, but, man, especially with the Yankees crushing the Red Sox at Fenway tonight and the Mariners currently up on the Angels, this is probably the worst possible time for the Blue Jays bats to go cold.
Yeah, and the at-bats were largely awful tonight. You know, the Blue Jays have sort of lived and died by the sword of being really aggressive early in counts, especially on the first pitch. And it's led to a lot of success. Most first or second pitch of an at-bat home runs and hits this year in Major League Baseball because they're a talented club. But sometimes, you know, it's just if it's not working, there's got to be some in-game adjustments. And they just never really were able to adjust to Bailey Ober tonight. You know, he threw more curveballs and they just were out of sorts. And it was an issue in Tampa as well. And you can tip your cap to good pitching, but the good lineups, the great lineups have to find a way to make those adjustments in game. And, you know, I think part of this is also just they were going at such an insane clip that you were bound to see a lull at some point, but they've basically just gone in the toilet after being so good for, you know, going on 3 weeks. There was no middle ground, you know, like even if they were still averaging 4.5 or 5 runs a game somehow this week, they'd still find a way to win some of these ballgames. I mean, you know, they're putting out 4 hits, 1 run tonight. You know, a game where you give up 3 runs and 6 hits, that's got to be a win with your caliber of offense. And they just weren't particularly close again tonight. Stranded a couple of doubles with no outs or 1 out, and the at-bats weren't particularly good. A bunch of pop-ups, soft contact. They did hit some balls hard tonight that found gloves, but by and large, the approach was just not good tonight at all. And if it doesn't change quick, you know, you're going to find yourself in a really bad spot come when the Yankees come to town. And by that point, if you're hitting like this, like how much are those games really going to matter with the way things seem to be trending right now?
Don't forget, you can text us at 590-590, leave your name and location. I see a whole bunch here on the text line. We'll do our best to get to as many of them as possible. But yeah, Josh, you look at the box score, and I mean, certainly if you were watching or listening tonight, this was apparent, but in case you didn't, in case you're just joining us now, you look at that box score and you see an offer, right, from Springer, you see the offer from Vladdy, the offer from Bo Bichette, and he struck out 4 times, so he gets to wear the golden sombrero. You can be having, like, I feel like you can probably live with at-bats like that if it's like the guys who are not playing very often or guys who are living at the bottom of the order. And even then, we'd still be having the conversation about, oh, why are these guys doing it? Replace them with player X, Y, or Z. But you can't be having those kind of sheer uncompetitive at-bats from the meat of the order. And of course, Marcus Semien with the only RBI in the day, his 42nd home run of the season. We can talk about that certainly. But really, outside of Semien, and even he had some struggles tonight, but boy, when you get at-bats like that from Springer, Vladdy Jr., Bo Bichette, and Teoscar Hernandez, like certainly there were a couple, I want to say there were maybe like 2 or 3 hits that probably should have been singles, right? Like Teoscar got robbed on a really long, I guess it would have been a double or maybe even a triple if Cave hadn't tracked that ball down near the warning track. And similarly for Teoscar Hernandez, pardon me, for Bo Bichette. But at the same time, in the end of the day, you can't be looking at that and saying, well, that's good enough, because it's not.
It's not. It's not in any way. And like, do you shake up the lineup tomorrow? George Springer, again, the at-bats were just not good tonight at all. Like, there were some hangers that his timing just was not there whatsoever. Yeah. And I don't know why that is the case. Is it just a really inopportune scuffle? Like, I'm not all of a sudden just going to be like, you know, well, George Springer's talent is gone. He's in a slump. But, you know, with the way that the lineup is going right now, I've been saying keep him at leadoff, keep him at leadoff, keep him at leadoff. It's getting harder to defend, but nobody's really hitting right now. So, you know, if you jumble up the puzzle pieces, but it's just they don't fit for whatever reason. Like, if you put somebody else at leadoff and you move Springer down, is it really going to make all that much of a difference if the approach is bad and the pitch recognition is bad and just the patience is bad and everything is bad? Maybe not, but at this point, you might have to try something else because, you know, your season is, like, it, I hate to say it, it is kind of slipping away here. You're going to have to make up two games with eight to go. Not insurmountable by any means, and we've seen this team resurrect their season basically on the operating table. You and I have talked about it many, many times. But, you know, like, you got back into it. You did a really good job putting yourself in a position to control your own destiny, and all of a sudden, the bats have gone cold. And now you don't really anymore, unless you, like, not win out, but I think you got to win at least six of your last eight games, if not seven. I think 6-2 at the bare minimum is what it's going to take over the final eight games, and probably some help with the way that the Yankees are going right now, if you want to get into the playoffs or at least into a play-in game, a game 163 for a spot in the wild card. And maybe it's just as simple as making desperation tweaks to try and get this thing going. I'm not saying it's going to work, but I'm not really sure what other options you realistically have available to you.
Yeah, the Blue Jays are 85-69 after tonight's loss. And you and I have been saying, I guess for a couple of weeks now, that probably the 91-92 win threshold is going to be what gets you into a wild card position, right? Pole position for the wild card, and it's certainly going to be very, you know, if the Mariners keep winning, the conversation could change, but it's going to be very AL East heavy with the Red Sox and Yankees directly ahead of all the other AL wildcard teams right now. And I think certainly 6-2, I think you would think gets you in, but you know, it's going to take some help, like you mentioned, from the Red Sox, probably going to take some help from other teams who are playing the Mariners coming up, and probably also going to take a sweep of the Yankees, I would have to imagine, if things don't turn around, at least in the next couple of games, because they have the day off on Monday, and then three against the Yankees, three against the Orioles to wrap up this regular season. But, you know, when it comes to George Springer, boy, Josh, you and I have had this conversation a lot over the last couple of days. Like, and I feel, and you, like you said, you've defended the decision to say George Springer should not be moved up and down the order. If he's playing, if he's healthy, if he's in center field, he should be at leadoff, which, you know what, is fair to say. But at the same time, I guess the way I look at it is, well, you know what, actually, you know what, before I say that, I do think it's not going to change. With the eight games left, I don't see Charlie Montoyo shaking it up too much, but I am on board with a lot of people who think it should be changed. Now, do I think he should be dropped down to seventh in the order? No, I don't. I can't get on board with that. But I just think that based on what you've seen out of Simeon at the leadoff position, out of Bo even at the leadoff position, and maybe, you know, Lourdes is not going to be back probably this weekend. I would be happy to be wrong on that. But, you know, given what we heard manager Charlie Montoyo saying pregame, I would be shocked if he comes back anytime soon because the stitches are still active in his hand. So maybe they want to wait until they're back home in Toronto against the Yankees to put him back in the lineup. Maybe he DHs, right? I mean, there's a lot of conversations about what happens with Lourdes Gurriel Jr. over the next couple of, you know, the next 10 days or so, let's say. But when it comes to George Springer, at least, boy, he is really struggling right now. And I like you say, it's just harder and harder for the Blue Jays to continue saying, well, we're just going to stick him up there and watch him go 0-for-4 basically every game.
Yeah, I think it's difficult to justify it, even though, you know, I still think he's a great hitter and I still think he's going to be this team's leadoff hitter. It just is a situational thing right now. You've got eight games left and a deficit to make up and the bats aren't doing their thing. And usually when that's the case, you rejigger the lineup. And would I be surprised if it looks different tomorrow? Not at all. Would I be surprised if it looked very similar? Also not at all. And like, we haven't had a chance yet to talk about Reese McGuire hitting in the top of the eighth inning.
Yeah.
That's so bad. Like, I understand you look at the options and you look at the bench and it's, basically it's Breivik, Valera, or Randall Grichuk. And we talked about Valera's month of September, his OPS in the pregame of almost 900 the month of September. I know that conventional wisdom would indicate that, you know, Breivik Valera is not a great offensive player. Reese McGuire coming into tonight since the 1st of July, he basically had a real nice late May into June. His WRC plus was under 60, hasn't hit a home run in over 100 at bats, hitting a shade over 200, on base of about 280. What are you hoping for from Reese McGuire? Are you just saying, oh, well, it's a righty up there, he's a lefty, like, maybe he'll run into one? He hasn't run into one in 3 months. Like, what is the logic there? What are the numbers? What are you seeing in that moment? What is calling you that Reese McGuire should get a chance to hit against a leverage reliever in the eighth inning? The larger problem could just be, like, why is Reese McGuire even playing? Like, I understand Danny Jansen has gone a little bit cold of late. I'd still rather Danny Jansen hit. He's got a more recent baseline of legit offensive success as a major league hitter than Reese McGuire does. Reese McGuire really hasn't hit since June. So I'm for the life of me, don't understand certainly why he was in the lineup at all, but why was he batting there in the top of the eighth inning? I'd love to hear an explanation there, but I don't think there's going to be a good one because I just don't think it's an explainable move.
Yeah, like if you mentioned Danny Jansen, you mentioned Breivik Valera, and certainly Randall Grichuk. I mean, look, Grichuk has not been great, but I would have rather have seen Grichuk come to bat to open the eighth inning than Reese McGuire the way he's been going. I mean, hell, honest to God, I would have taken Jerod Dyson instead of Reese McGuire at this point, because it has been, whatever the step is above a black hole for Reese McGuire lately, that's what it is, because it's not been great. And I 100% agree with you. I don't know that we're going to get a cogent explanation for why Reese McGuire was batting to open the eighth inning, but it just, the whole pinch hitting situation that the Blue Jays have dealt with, the way they have dealt with it, maybe a better way of saying it, over the last, gosh, maybe like month or so, maybe slightly less than that, because the Blue Jays have been good for much of September, so let's say like 2 weeks, has been baffling, at like, to put it kindly, at times.
Yeah, maybe if somebody took a look at the standings and realized you were where you are in the standings, you might not have hit Reese McGuire in that situation, but that's more of a tongue-in-cheek comment. I'm trying to use humor to deflect away from the pain of losing. You know, you've lost four or five games at a really poor time. You know, like you had won, what was it, seven straight series going into Tampa, yeah. And now, you know, you're on the verge of losing your second straight. You got to win two in a row to avoid that happening. And like, you weren't going to win 80% of your games, but now you've lost 80% of your last five games. And like, there's the middle ground had to be, if there was going to be a fall from grace, it needed to be more of a cushioned fall instead of just you're free falling down the elevator shaft like Emilio Estevez, or I guess he's going up.
He was
in
going
Mission
up,
Impossible,
yeah.
Whatever. You're free falling down the elevator shaft right now, and you got to stop the free fall, or you know, maybe the last few games of the season aren't going to have the same level of meaning and impact, which would be a real shame, because you're going to have more fans in the building. If the games have a lot of meaning, if they can right the ship, win these last two, get a little help, then you're in a great spot with more fans and that home field advantage. But we talked pregame, we talked postgame last night. You have to take care of your own business first and foremost, and they just are not getting that done right now, and everything else is moot. You'd love some help, but you're not helping yourselves.
You're listening to Jay's Talk, presented by your Ontario Honda dealers. Show and Josh with you until the bottom of the hour. We're going to step aside. When we return, we'll get to your texts at 590-590, name and location. I see a whole bunch of spicy texts, Josh, so still time to send those in. We'll get to those after the break. But Jay's Talk continues after this on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
In Oakland, they called him the Machine because he's a cold, calculated, hitting cyborg.
I'll be back.
Marcus Semien lives here on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jay's Talk, presented by your Ontario Honda dealers. Joe and Josh with you for another 15 more minutes or so as the Blue Jays lose their third straight game, their fourth in five games, a 3-1 loss to the Twins at Target Field. Game three of this four-game series will go tomorrow night, 7:10 p.m. Eastern, across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Robbie Ray will be on the mound. I believe it's still TBA, Josh, for the Twins, but we'll see if that gets updated before we are off the air. Pardon me, say it again.
So, sorry to cut you off.
Go
Here's
ahead.
What I'll say about tomorrow,
all right.
And I'm sure we'll dive into it a little bit more. Robbie Ray's on the mound. You don't win tomorrow night, we're eulogizing the season tomorrow. It's happening. You got to win tomorrow. I hate must wins until the season is, until you're actually mathematically eliminated. But Robbie Ray on the mound, you've lost four or five to avoid a series loss. Got to get it done. Or I think, you know, it's going to be, we might have to really, you know, it's going to be tough sledding tomorrow. So let's just hope that he pitches a strong game. They bounce back and can get a win because, boy, oh boy.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's either Robbie Ray pitches very – I guess there's, like, a couple scenarios that could play out tomorrow. Robbie Ray pitches well and they still lose. He doesn't pitch well and they lose. Or somehow the bats pick everyone up, which I feel like, it, unfortunately, is the least likely scenario because they have not been good so far. But, hey, I hope I am wrong about that because we know that this team, we have seen it. We have seen them prove you and I wrong about them turning things around in a hurry. So I'm hoping they can against the Twins tomorrow. Again, I'm not sure who is pitching for the Twins, but we'll see if that news comes out in the next 15 minutes or so. On the text line, 590-590, name and location. I see a lot of texts here. Mark and Hamilton, I think it's well past the time to move Springer down in the order with such a tight wild card race. Personalities need to stay out of it, and you need to do what's best for the team. Henry from Mississauga, what has happened to the Jays? They have looked terrible the last three games, and it has all started with that stupid beanball against Tampa Bay. I've been saying all season, Charlie Montoyo is not a major league manager. Losing two games in a row to a team they should be blowing out in a playoff race proves it. Now, look, you know what? We can have the Charlie Montoyo. We can have that Montoyo conversation if you want, Josh. And you know what? He can wear the McGuire decision to be batting in the eighth. But Charlie Montoyo didn't make this team only have four hits tonight. Like, the bats have been cold. I don't know. Like, no amount of managing is going to change what they do at the plate. Like, simple as that.
Well, so, yeah, we got on the McGuire decision. You could get on the Springer leading off. But, yeah, four hits, one run. You know, they've scored 12 runs, I think, now over their last 48 innings of baseball. That, like, I understand that it's easy to blame the manager when the team is losing. The manager's not losing you games right now, just the same way the manager's often not winning you games. You win or lose, you rise or fall based on the backs of your talent, of your players. That's the way it should be. And it's just, it's easier to blame the manager. Blame the players. One run on four hits, terrible approaches, you know, just not good tonight. The manager has nothing to do with that. The batting order is what it is. There's still talent in this lineup. The guy's got to get the job done regardless of where they're batting. And for the last five games, they really haven't gotten the job done. And that's on them. That's not on the manager. And I'd be the first to blame the manager if I thought that there was something tangible to it. But over this five-game stretch, outside of, you know, really McGuire tonight, if you want to get on Springer leading off, though, and those aren't the reasons that the Jays have been losing ball games. I'll say that.
I see another text from Tom, and Tom doesn't say where he's from, but I wanted to read this one because I feel like people will probably have strong takes on this basically either way. Springer and four All-Stars should be ashamed. Pathetic performance over the last three. They are the baseball equivalent of the Leafs. Anti-clutch from Tom. And now, look, I mean, the Leafs, boy, I got to tell you, I haven't been this disinterested in a Leaf season since I was a young boy. Because of what happened in the playoffs last year, but I can't get on board on comparing this version of the Blue Jays to the Leafs. I mean, even beyond the fact that the Leafs actually did make the playoffs and win their division, I mean, at the same time, I feel like it's so different. I can't get behind that, even though I do understand the impetus to be mad at both the Leafs and the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I let's not bring the Leafs into this. I don't want to talk about the Leafs. Like, the Jays have some issues right now. I think they're a talented club. I do think that they're a good team, but they're too streaky, right? There's been some real high highs, and there's been some real low lows. And right now, they appear to be in a low low at the worst possible time after an incredible run that got them back into this position. I think this just kind of illustrates how difficult it was going to be to get into the playoffs with the deficit that they had. They needed an outrageous run to close the gap. They got it, and they couldn't really afford any sort of a lull in that span. And now they're having a lull, and it very well, and maybe even likely, could end up costing them their season.
I see here another text from Daryl in Brampton. This going for the fences each at bat is not going to get it done in the last eight games. Need base runners and small ball to get them in. Don in Bowmanville, I have visions of 1987, said the same thing last year. They pulled through. I still have hopes. Bats on fire tomorrow. Don in Bowmanville and DB in London, live by the sword, die by the sword. That's the Jays' problem. They were swinging swords tonight instead of bats. Dig deep, boys. Dig deep. So a lot of people kind of all over the spectrum here, Josh. I think some people feel like they're starting to lose hope. Like another one from Connor in Toronto. I haven't lost all hope yet, but my hope is fading unless something changes, and changes quickly. So we'll have to see what happens tomorrow. Again, Robbie Ray on the mound. And like you said, if there was ever you would have thought it was if Jose Berríos, like if you told me before this game that Jose Berríos was going to throw six innings and have 10 strikeouts, I would have said this Blue Jays are going to blow out this game. That would have been my immediate take on that.
Yeah.
So if Robbie Ray does anything similar to this tomorrow, you bet I'm telling you the Blue Jays are winning that game. But you know what? Based on the way things have been going lately, it has been so wild that you can't guarantee that, unfortunately.
Well, it's really unfortunate that Jose Berríos, you know, he kind of took some time to settle in and wasn't great in the first, then was really good in the second, and then made a couple of mistakes in the third inning. And if you have the kind of lineup that, you know, the Blue Jays have had and we've sung the praises for at large stretches this season, three runs in the third inning to go down 3-0 shouldn't necessarily be a death knell to your chances of winning a ball game, especially against a pitcher like Bailey Ober. And I know that the Twins bullpen has been better as of late, but it's still not exactly chock full of overwhelming, incredible options. And they scored one run and had four hits on the night. And I Jose Berríos deserved better. Like, if you feel as though you can't make any mistake because your bats won't be able to pick you up, then you're not going to win a lot of baseball games. Like, you can't just rely on your pitchers giving up one run every single time out, because like, it's just not a sustainable way to go about winning ball games in whether it's the National League, the American League, but particularly in the American League East. And the starting pitching has been spotty this week, I would say, up and down, a little bit inconsistent. There have been some good starts. There have been some really not so good starts. And, you know, tonight he was really good and just didn't get that support. And you hope that that's not a theme that can carry over here at all over the next or the last eight games of the season.
You're listening to Jay's Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Show and Josh with you for a few more minutes. When we come back, we'll wrap up on the text line, maybe listen to some post-game audio as well. Jay's Talk continues after this on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This year's team has us feeling super competitive. Crazy competitive. Way more competitive than you. Sorry, told ya. Blue Jays baseball on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jay's Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Show and Josh with you for a few more minutes. Jays losing it 3-1 tonight over to the Minnesota Twins. Game three of four goes tomorrow. Robbie Ray will be on the mound for the Blue Jays. AL Cy Young candidate Robbie Ray. And I think after what Gerrit Cole did earlier tonight in New York, you would think he'd have to have a pretty good game, Josh, in order to bolster his AL Cy Young candidacy. I mean, who'd have thought that this would have been a conversation in the first place, but it sure feels like Robbie Ray's game tomorrow will go a long way in what, you know, probably tomorrow and his likely last game of the regular season next week, I think against the Yankees, will go a long way in solidifying a potential AL Cy Young for him.
Yeah, I would say, you know, Gerrit Cole had a decent start tonight, quality start, 3 runs, 6 innings, 6 strikeouts against the Yankees, nothing that leaps off the page, but they won, they're in a playoff position. I don't know how much that's necessarily going to factor in, but if Robbie Ray can bounce back like he did against Tampa after the rough start against Baltimore, tomorrow night after a rough start against Tampa, and he can bounce back and you know, strike out double digits, give you 7 innings of 2-run or less and pitch you to win, then that firmly places him in the pole position for the Cy Young. So, you know, it's all there in front of him. You know, we talked about this last night. It lined up great with Berríos, Ray, and Manoah in the last three games of the series, and you're 0-for-1. So, you know, like, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Yeah. I think it's going to come down to the bats. If the bats can find some solid ground, then I think they're going to be fine tomorrow. But it's hard to expect much with the way things look right now and how the approaches have been.
Let's wrap up on the text line, Josh. You see, you only have a couple minutes left, so we might as well get to people's last few texts here. 590-590. Cody from Bradford, should have gone to the Argos game show. Should have gone to the Argos game. Yeah, the Argos did win tonight, actually, down at BMO Field, 30-27. I did see that one. It's not something you can say very often in this city, honestly. Maybe also because of the sheer amount of Blue Jays games there are, but can't say that too often. But probably true tonight, Cody. I see another one here. Dill and Ajax, it's getting frustrating watching these hitters go down in order in 3 to 5 pitches, start hitting like a more seasoned hitting team. And I see a couple people kind of having the idea that this team is streaky and not consistent. That's their identity, full stop. That's from Eddie in Toronto. Someone else had texted that as well. I don't see it on the text line right now, but people basically texting in to say this team is streaky and that Tim and Ajax, getting people's hope up was cruel and misleading. Maybe they're not that good a team. I think, you know what? I think they are, in the end, a very good team. I do believe that with, like, with my being, I do truly believe that. A flawed team, to be sure. They are a flawed team. Probably need more lefty bats in the lineup, just generally speaking, going forward into next offseason as your, like, short list on the shopping list, right? But at the same time, I do truly believe this team is at least as good as the Red Sox and Yankees. It's just unfortunate that, I mean, I think if they are a streaky team and all of them go cold at the same time, like we're seeing over the last, what, five, six games, then you get results like you got tonight and yesterday and the game before.
This series could end up being a real microcosm of the season where you look back and you maybe, let's say you win 89 or 90 games or something like that, and you miss the playoffs by a game or two, and you talk about losing, you know, a couple to the Twins down the stretch, you know, that two-game sweep against Washington, and losing to the Angels the way that you did. There have been plenty of games this season that the Blue Jays against inferior talent teams should have been taking care of more of their business. And they've racked up a lot of wins against over 500 teams over the last month. They've become one of the better teams in terms of total wins against teams above 500. And I think we're going to remember, if they don't make the playoffs, how many winnable games they let slip away by means of the bullpen, you know, the bats going cold, whatever it was, against teams that they should have beaten and ended up, you know, losing to. I think if they don't make the playoffs, the bullpen and that, I think, are going to be probably the two big stories that a lot of people unfortunately look back on when it comes to the 2021 Blue Jays.
Let me ask you this about the Twins, because still two games left against the Twins for the rest of the season. Are they as bad as we think?
No, definitely not. It's a talented team. You know, they've had a lot of injuries. Pitching hasn't been good. Wouldn't surprise me in the least if they have a certain type of offseason, make some smart moves, and get some good health next year, if they're right in contention again with the Twins atop the American League Central.
That's Josh Goldberg. Always good stuff from him. He and I are back tomorrow and on Sunday for the remainder of this Jays-Twins series. But you have been listening to Blue Jays Baseball, powered by Jack Links. Send hunger down to the minors and feed your wild side. Jays drop another one tonight. 3-1 the final at Target Field. And tomorrow, AL Cy Young candidate Robbie Ray comes to the mound for Toronto. For Tom, Ben, Andrew, Josh, I'm Sho. Thank you for listening as always. And we'll talk to you on Saturday night.